The Lord be with you. Social distancing. That's what the government is recommending right now to slow the spread of the coronavirus. And because of this social distancing, you'll notice that our seats are now spaced 6 feet apart. It's why we will discourage you from shaking hands. It's why we have so many people at home watching online. And it's why the waters of the baptismal font are way up here where you can't stick your fingers in them. So we don't share germs. Right, to say, the social distancing that we are doing right now is because of a fear of modern infection, but social distancing is a very old concept. And we see it in our gospel lesson today when we read from John chapter 4. Jesus is traveling and he passes through a region called Samaria. And because he gets tired, he stops at about noon by a well. And there he meets a woman, a Samaritan woman, and he asks her for a drink of water. And her reply is to say, how is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And then our gospel very helpfully explains that Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. But I need to clarify that because Jews, in fact, do share a lot in common with Samaritans. They share a common heritage, a common language, and a common God. But for the past 1,000 years, they had been practicing social distancing because they disagreed about who should be king of Israel, about where that God should be worshipped, and about whether each other's parentage was sufficiently pure. And so they shared many things, primarily wars, but they didn't share food or water or social niceties. No, in those things, they did indeed practice social distancing. But it's not just along ethnic lines. Our gospel lesson today also says that when the disciples see that Jesus is talking with this woman, they are amazed. And it says that they're amazed not because she's a Samaritan, but because she is a woman. You see, rabbis, male religious leaders, practiced social distancing from women they weren't related to in public. They practiced social distancing so as to not set off a rumor mill. But even more so, this woman that Jesus encounters at the well, he encounters her there at noon by herself. And in the ancient world, where it was the task of women to go and draw water for their family for the day, women would usually go in groups and in the morning. And they did this for two reasons. One was to have safety in numbers because the well is always outside the city. And two, they did it to avoid the heat of the day. For Jesus to encounter this woman at a well at noon drawing water by herself is to say that this woman has been forced to practice social distancing from the other women in her own village. It doesn't tell us why, but perhaps it's because she has had 5 husbands and the man with whom she lives now is not her husband. To say the idea of social distancing is one thousands of years old. And for thousands of years, it's been practiced to avoid infections. But sometimes the infections that have been avoided are infections around ethnicity or a fear of spreading infectious rumors or the fear of infectious bad morality. And to say sometimes that social distancing was founded on nothing more than prejudice and fear and was unwarranted. But sometimes that social distancing was completely warranted. In our first reading today, we are reminded that the Israelites practiced social distancing from their Egyptian slave masters. And they didn't just put 6 feet between them and their slave masters. They put the Red Sea and the whole desert of Sinai. And with good reason. But here's the thing. Whether our social distancing is done for good reasons or for unfounded reasons, eventually our social distancing always begins to separate us from what we need to live. The Israelites in the desert discovered that their social distancing had separated them from water that they needed to drink. The woman at the well has discovered that the social distancing of her community has separated her from a sense of belonging and safety. And so we too, in the week to come, may be initially excited that we get to cancel all our social engagements and stay home. But we may soon find that being separated from the things that hold us together as a community and as individuals begins to strain us. Already, there are everyday Americans in the hospitality, service, and entertainment industries who are finding that their livelihoods are at risk because of events that have been canceled. Already, trips to visit family overseas have had to be postponed due to travel advisories. Already, nursing homes are preventing visitors from seeing their loved ones. And already, the waters of promise are hidden out of sight and out of reach. And it may begin to feel that as we gather here around those waters looking for them, and we are accustomed to reaching out and hugging the people who have so long gathered around those waters, who have for so long given us support, that when we reach out and find only 6 feet of empty air, we may begin to ask ourselves, is the God of these waters also out of sight and out of reach? Now look, I have not studied medicine. I cannot tell you what social distancing is warranted. I can only read the government websites and try to do what they recommend. But I have studied the scriptures, and I can tell you about God. I can tell you that when the Israelites socially distanced themselves in the wilderness, God drew near to them. And I can tell you that when Jews and men and even the women of her own village had distanced themselves from the woman at the well, still Jesus drew close to her. And I can tell you, in the days and weeks to come, when the people around you socially distance themselves from you, Christ will draw near to you and hold you close. Because God is always with us, especially when we feel that we are alone or separated from what we need. God draws near, and God provides. The Samaritan woman says to Jesus, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet." And so she asks him a theological question. She says, "You know, you Jews, you say that you're supposed to worship God in the temple in Jerusalem." But she says, "My ancestors, my Samaritan ancestors, they worship God here on this mountain." And the implied question is, where should we worship God? But Jesus rejects the question completely. His response is to say that people will worship their Father in spirit and in truth. And they can do that anywhere. And so can you. Because you see, it doesn't matter if you are here with us today in this room. It doesn't matter if you're watching online. It doesn't matter if you've gotten fed up with all of society and you decide you're just going to go hike up a mountain and be by yourself. To say when you worship in spirit and in truth, you worship truly and God is there with you, ready to provide. For God is spirit and God is present everywhere so that God can carry us through no matter where we find ourselves. And when we experience the truth of this revelation, we receive a calling. It is a calling to transform social distance with spiritual connection. It's a calling that the woman at the well receives when she encounters Jesus. This woman has gone to draw water from the well, but after encountering Jesus, who is living water, she leaves her water jar behind. And she goes to the very people who have socially distanced themselves from her because she no longer needs a jar to carry the water that will sustain her. Her very being has become a vessel in which the living waters of Christ pour forth. And so she goes to pour them out to the people of her village because she knows that they too need to be nourished by those waters that flow from God. And Jesus says to his disciples who have socially distanced themselves from Samaritans, he sends them out into the harvest in the midst of those Samaritans, saying that they will reap that for which they did not labor. And to say the harvest which they will gather is a harvest of spiritual connection in the midst of social distancing. And when Jesus sends them out, he says, I have food which you do not know about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his task. And I'm here to tell you that in the weeks to come, the food that will nourish and sustain us is the food of doing the work of Jesus, who sends us out into the midst of this harvest which is ripe, ripe for a need of spiritual connection in the midst of social distancing. And it is doing that which will carry us through. And to say, we don't yet know what that will look like in the days ahead. It may well look like providing financial support for those who have lost work during this time of quarantine. It may well look like making sure that the elderly and the sick in our community who need to stay at home in the days ahead have the resources, the groceries, and the supplies that they need. It will definitely look like spending less time checking into the news and spending more time checking in with old friends, whether that's over the phone or going out for a walk together up a mountain. To say what we are called to do in this moment is what the woman at the well does, which is to say the old water jugs which we have used so long to provide connections, they may not be what we need at this moment. And it may be time to set them aside and discover how God is using us to become living vessels of the waters which God pours out to sustain and nourish us. And so while we may yet discover the specifics of what this calling is, our calling is clear. May we, like Moses, strike forth in faith so that all may see that even in the barren rocks of social distance, God has drawn near and is pouring out living water. Amen.